Turn your Bibles with me to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm going to give you a little history lesson as we get ready to read some scripture about Christ's death on the cross, His burial, and His resurrection. The Bible tells us in Matthew 26:17, on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that Christ ate the Passover with His disciples and instituted what we now observe, the Lord's Supper or Communion. That evening, He went to Gethsemane and sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, and He prayed. And He asked His favorite disciples, that inner core, to go with Him and pray. And you'll remember they fell asleep. After the second time, when He returned and they were asleep, He told them to go ahead and sleep because He had been betrayed into the hands of sinners. And soon the mob came and arrested Him. They took Him to the high priest, and there they accused Him of blasphemy. Then they spit in His face. Matthew 26. Verse 67 says, they buffeted Him and smote Him with the hands. They mocked Him. All night He went through this. The next morning they took Him bound to Pilate, the governor. They asked that He be crucified. Pilate turned Him over to the soldiers for scourging, John chapter 19 tells us. That was a method of getting the truth out of people, to whip them with the cat of nine tails, flogging them, 39 stripes. Once that was done, they would question them again to see if they would now tell the truth. Pilate decided from what Jesus said, he could find no fault in Him. Yet the Jews cried, crucify Him, crucify Him. So Pilate washed his hands and said, I have no fault in this man. But he turned Him over to the soldiers, and they stripped Him and put a robe on Him and platted a crown of horrible thorns and pressed them into His brow. They knelt down before Him and mocked Him as the King of the Jews. They put a reed in His hand like a scepter. And then they smote Him and they spit on Him. And then they made Him carry the cross to the place of Calvary. And there they nailed Him to the cross and raised Him up before God. For some 6 hours, He hung there, bleeding and in pain and suffering. But He told His disciples, no man takes my life from me, I lay it down of my own free will. Do you not understand I could call 12 legions of angels right now to deliver me? It is for this purpose that I came into the world. And He died there for you and for me. They crucified Him. Now we look at 1 Corinthians 15 this morning in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures, and that He was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that He was seen of above 500 brethren at one time, at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and last of all, He was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Our heart pumps blood throughout our body, giving life to every part. One of the big reasons Fred Boatwright was in the hospital, he's in his 80s, his heart is not pumping enough blood flow through his body. His lungs developed pneumonia. The antibiotics could clear the pneumonia, but they can't increase the heart need because of his age and his general condition and his heart. The gospel is the heart of the message of God's salvation, and the resurrection is the heart of the gospel. Without the resurrection, our faith would be in vain. Look at chapter 15 and verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 12. Now if Christ be preached that He rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we testified of God that He raised up Christ, whom He raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Afterward, they that are Christ at His coming. Let's pray. Fathers, look into Your Word. Guide me and help me as I try to help Your people. And Lord, the gospel message to save any who are lost, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The resurrection was and still is the focal point of our faith. Jesus shared five passages, and for the time I won't turn to them and read them. Five times He shared with His disciples He was going to go to the cross, He was going to die, He was going to rise again from the dead. But they failed to grasp this. Like in John 3:14, where it said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. He knew all along what would transpire, and He tried to prepare them and warn them. In John chapter 11 and verse 25, He said, I am the resurrection and the life. When people believe in Him, they have the hope of resurrection themselves also. Now the early church focused on the resurrection of Christ from the dead. They were Jewish people who'd been trained in the Bible in the Old Testament. Now these of the early church had believed on Jesus Christ, followed Him in baptism, were continuing in the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread, and in prayers. And they focused on the resurrection of Christ. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts and stay there a little while. We'll kind of do a little chain reference through, beginning in chapter 2 and verse number 21. Peter's preaching his message in Acts chapter 2, and it shall come to pass, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, the man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by Him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that He should be holden of it. And he goes on to tell about David's prophecy of these things. David spoke of falling in sleep and seeing no corruption. David died and was buried, and his body was corrupted. But Jesus Christ is the root of David, and he saw no corruption in his death because he was raised again from the dead. Over in chapter 3 and verse number 13, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified His Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, denied Him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let Him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. Here is the message centered around them going to the temple and the lame man being healed, and the people looking to them, and they said, it's not by our power or might this is done, it's in the name of Jesus that this man is made whole among you. And Peter again preached the resurrection from the dead. Christ revealed Himself alive from the dead for 40 days. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us He was seen by all these people, 500 brethren at one time, by all the apostles. To Israel, He said there would be one sign that was given to that nation. be the sign of the prophet Jonah, as Jonah was swallowed by the whale. And 3 days and three nights he was spit out on dry ground, Matthew 12, verse 38 through 42. That was the sign of the resurrection from the dead, was the sign to the nation of Israel. Miracles could attest to the deity of Jesus Christ, but prophets also performed miracles like Elijah and Elisha. And many of the people just believed that Jesus was a prophet. They said, "This is the prophet of Nazareth." And some believed that he was a prophet. He wept over the city of Jerusalem. He had compassion upon them. He desired them to come unto him. And so many saw him in that way, but they didn't see him as the Messiah. Some said he's Jeremiah the prophet. Jeremiah had done the same, weeping over his people. He preached with authority and power against sin and unrighteousness and injustice of the Pharisees. But John the Baptist had done that also. And the king thought this was John the Baptist risen from the dead. But the resurrection from the dead is the declaration of the deity of Jesus Christ. In Romans 1 and verse 1 through 4, the Bible tells us of the resurrection, that it declares that he is risen. It says in verse 4, "And declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead." So the Scriptures acclaim Christ, and those who believe the Bible have to believe that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That is the focal point of our faith. That is what other faiths do not have. Islam, Buddhism, the cults, all teach a system of works to earn a relationship with God. The Bible says, "It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy that He saved us." Ephesians says it's by the grace of God, as a gift from God, that we're saved, not by works which we have done. Secondly, this then was the focal point of the early church, the gospel message, the resurrection from the dead. In 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4, Paul said, "This is what I preach unto you, what I have received myself." And this is what he preached, the resurrection. Peter told the multitudes that were gathered because of the lame man not to look on them, but to look on Christ, who is the assurance of salvation because he was risen from the dead. This aspect of the testimony of Scripture. Paul spoke in Acts chapter 10, or excuse me, Peter spoke in Acts chapter 10 at Cornelius' house. In chapter 10, verse 39 through 43, that Christ was risen from the dead. Paul preached in chapter 13, verse 35 through 39, the resurrection of Christ from the dead. In Acts chapter 17, at that great city of the Greeks, he preached Christ's resurrection from the dead and assured them in chapter 17, in verse number 32, that they could be sure of the judgment of God to come because of the resurrection of Christ from the dead. Christ suffered our judgment so that we don't have to be judged. But just as sure as God judged our sins on Christ, He will judge the world to come, and the resurrection is a proof of that judgment that is to come. The testimony of Scripture validates this over and over and over again, the prophecies of it. Psalm 16 said he saw no corruption. Matthew 12, the sign of Jonah the prophet. Acts 26, that he would be a light to the Gentiles. Genesis 22, 8, that God would provide himself a lamb as a sacrifice. John 1, 29, John the Baptist introduced him to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Twice Paul repeats in his gospel presentation in chapter 15, that Christ died and arose according to the Scriptures. It's the Bible that gives us the truth of the gospel message. And it's imperative that we believe the Bible. When Paul wrote to Timothy, a young preacher, he said in 2 Timothy 3:15, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. And fourthly, we have the eyewitness accounts, the testimonies of the disciples, of the 500 brethren, of the women who went to the tomb, of Peter and of James and of Thomas, and all the apostles at one time, and last of all to Paul. That was last of all in the Scriptures being written, but it's not last of all. You see, we are the testimony and witnesses of Christ too, that salvation is real, and our changed lives are a witness and a testimony that the fact of the resurrection of Christ is real in our own lives. As we sang this morning, He lives, He lives, I know He lives, He lives within my heart. And because He lives within me, my life has been changed. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 through 22. Fifthly, our resurrection is dependent on His resurrection. You don't believe Christ rose from the dead, then friend, you got no hope. There is no hope. We were aliens. We didn't even have the benefit of what Israel had as a nation until we got saved. And then Christ has made us nigh unto God. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 15:20 through 22 that Christ is the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ that is coming. And we looked last Wednesday night at the first fruits feast, and how that's the first Sunday after the Passover, as they would wave their offering to God of the first of the fruits of their field in an offering unto God. Christ is the first fruits from the dead. He arose with a glorified bodily resurrection from the dead. The promise is one day that will happen to us. All who believe that we'll have a literal bodily resurrection from the dead, and we'll be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We'll be given a body that's like His body, and we'll live with Him forever and forever. That's the promise of God. To be free from our sins, we are declared righteous before God through justification by faith in Christ. And because of that, we should live for Him and serve Him. The Bible says, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Our salvation is dependent upon our belief in the bodily resurrection of Christ from the dead. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the Bible says you must believe in the bodily resurrection of Christ from the dead to be saved. And Scripture reveals that we are saved to the uttermost. And that word means completely. It means totally. It means entirely. We're saved when we trust Christ because, Hebrews says, He's our great high priest in heaven with God the Father, and He ever lives to make intercession for us, so we are saved to the uttermost when we believe upon Him. Number 7. Final point. Y'all like that? Because of that, we can now walk in newness of life because of the resurrection. Romans chapter 6 in your Bibles, if you want to turn there. Read just a few verses. Romans 6, and beginning with verse 6. Get my glasses to cooperate. Romans 6, verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we henceforth should not serve sin. Just as if we died on the cross with Christ, we were buried with Him, we rose again with Him. We testify of that when we follow the Lord and believers' baptism. It is a public display of our identification with Christ in His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves. That is like an accounting term. Reckon. account this, to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Our daily life demonstrates the power of the resurrection of Christ. Those of you who, like me, were saved as a grown adult who'd had a life of sin, and you tried to change yourself, you tried to better yourself, you tried to make yourself something different, and it would only last a little while, and you'd do wicked, terrible, horrible things again. But when you got saved, now there's a power that changes your life that you didn't have within yourself. And that is the power of the resurrection at work within us. We gather today to celebrate, not to decorate a grave or a tomb, but to celebrate a risen Savior. I serve a risen Savior. Christ went through the cross and the crucifixion and the burial. We think about that suffering, and we ought to think about it more. But let me tell you, friends, there's a lot more that Christ laid aside for us than just going to the cross. He laid aside His glory with the Father in heaven and took on flesh as a man to die as a substitute for you and me. And He had to be around sinners and was judged of sinners. And He had to see all the things of this life and the evil and the wickedness and be subjected to hunger and thirst and all of these things. He was tempted in all points just like you and I are, except without sin. He did not sin. And He died in our place. But He lives today. And He has the power to save you. If you don't know for sure you're saved, we plead with you when we sing this song, come, let a counselor take the Bible and show you how you can be saved before you leave this place today. Let's stand together. Father, we love You. We offer You this invitation. Pray that You'll work by Your power and through Your Spirit and through Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen.